We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
One thing that we could probably say now is I would say that we're a little bit more experienced. You know, I would also say that with that experience, you learn not to come in with looking too far down the road and looking, talking too much about expectations. Our expectation is to make sure that we're ready for game one right now. And I think that that's probably something that we've learned along the way here. We know that we're going to play a great hockey team, a team that, kind of year after year, they're sort of picked right from the start of the year, just the way that they're built as far as being a Stanley Cup contender. So we know that it's going to be a tough task.
Yeah, Mike, the Wild Gym. Here, we're joined by Mike Gelfand, and I wanted to impress him. I work with David Helmer. The Hellboy is a great producer. And what do? You can't even fire it up right.
That wasn't me.
Mike, we've heard that before.
That wasn't me, yep. That's kind of the motto around here, isn't it?
It wasn't me. That's
it always
true.
Was.
Well, it's great to see you, Mike. We ran into you the other day or last week. Terry Trade, her mom, passed away, and we ran into each other at the funeral. It was my wife and I. I've never seen anything like it, by the way. The lines that both her parents had when they passed away.
I mean, yeah.
Thousands of people went through, but Mary said to me, my wife, she goes, Mike's here. I said, what do you mean? She goes, stretch. I hear him. And then we looked and we saw you. So it was great to see and run into you. And I asked if you'd come on. And we're thrilled to have you on because
it's fun.
Your voice is, it's missed in radio.
Well, of course, I started out in radio with the KQ Morning Show. And now I've worked my way down to your show. And I kid, but of course, it's not easy doing a sports format in this town. You have to have faith in the future because these teams are so hideous, I mean, hopefully the teams will start doing a little better. And I gotta give you credit for coming in at this time.
Well, Mike, the Wild are playing. I mean,
the
it looks
Wilder.
Good, but
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I know that you covered baseball, so you must.
Yeah.
This team it could wind up being the worst team they've had.
Well, I mean, here it is, mid-April. They've already won a game, so I think they're on the right track. It could be bad. I think the question is, will the Twins victories and Joe Mauer RBIs will either hit 55? And I don't know. It's hard to lose 100 games, but this team is definitely capable. Well, right now, they've got the worst pitching staff in the major leagues, and I think they're number 29 in hitting. So if you're going to lose 100 games, that's how you do it.
And the only team in the American League with just the one win, and Miami has one also in the National League, but they're not in an easy division either. Every one of those teams is better than them, a lot better.
Yeah, a lot better. Well, of course, Kansas City hasn't lost yet, and eventually they will, but it's
week.
Tough. Probably not. No, it's really tough, and I don't know how the Twins are going to shake things up here. I think one thing they could do, they should probably trade Glenn Perkins. Because, his only job is to come in and save the game in the ninth. So, he's great, but it's kind of like having the best complexion in the memory care unit. there just isn't much need for it.
Mike, you have no idea how much I miss having you, being on with you because you... You lighten things up a bit.
It was always fun. I have to say that. It was always fun.
Yeah.
And every now and then in the morning show... Hard to identify, but there was this little bit of tension. But it was always fun, too.
It was. It was a great time.
Yeah.
And it was, I did look forward to the days you came in because I knew that it was going to be, you always had something insightful to say and funny to say. And much like the, actually, it's a heck of a line. I went from the KQ Morning Show, and now, how did you put it?
I don't remember.
All the way down to this.
It was just, you look at my journalism career. I started out at the Wall Street Journal and worked my way down to Bob Lertzema's Viking Report. So I'm used to regression. Although I will say,
part of a theme.
I worked with David Carr at the Vikings, Viking Report. So, the two of us, well, he was on the way up. I was on the way down.
That was a shame what happened to
what an incredible talent.
And he left here, what, about 15 years ago?
Yeah, about that, I think, yeah. And his rise was just astounding. Most of it, I guess, came out of his book. Yeah.
Now, Mike, do you miss doing the picks? Or are you still doing them for somebody or in some form? You used to do football picks. Was always a lot of fun.
I'm just
to look
doing them
to.
For my bookmaker now.
And, how's that going?
And suddenly realizing they weren't that great. No, you know, it's funny because it got a little tiresome, I have to say, over all those years, those football picks. I kind of enjoy watching games now and not having much more to worry about than just my fantasy football team. And I think my kids, especially Max, who I watch the games with a lot, and he and I have a fantasy football team, I think he likes it a lot more now that I don't have the mythical bankroll. Because I could lose $40 on a game and I could take it, but if my bankroll lost, say, $150 in a week, I'd start, like, throwing pens at the TV, and he never liked that very much. And I must say my shoulder is finally recovered. And my pens from all those tantrums I used to have. It was hard to lose the mythical money. Much harder than it is to lose real money. Yeah.
Well, because everyone knew about the mythical money.
Well, that's the thing. You know, there's no place to hide, and a lot of ego attached to that.
And you've had to make a few trips over the years to the mythical bank.
A few trips. I think the worst year I had one year where I lost everything. And I had a week where I was, I was just betting every game. You know you're in trouble when you're betting every game. And I went like 1-11 this week. And some guy wrote me to say that I was lying. I was really 0-12. And I thought, yeah, I've hit bottom. You just kind of know when you've hit bottom. You know, it's that old joke, like, I hope I break even because I need the money. That's kind of the way I felt a lot of times. But the last few years, oddly enough, were really good.
Yeah.
I think I learned how to do it all without sleeping.
And you're getting, I mean, it's, you're sleeping a little bit better now, I hope.
This sleeping thing is good.
Good. Sleeping, you've learned that it's a good
thing.
It
really is. You know, some of the, some picks are starting to fade. So, the seizures are very mild now. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
I will say this, because I haven't done the morning show now for a little over a month, and it's life. I don't get up at 4. Yeah. I wouldn't get up at 4. I get up at 4:01. That's what it was. The first week, I was still waking up then, but now I'm sleeping until 6:30. And it is, it's a complete different thing to get those extra. It's light when I'm waking up or getting light.
I don't know how you felt about all that, but I was happy for you when I heard you weren't doing the morning show, because there comes a point, man, you just got to save yourself. That's hard. It's really destructive to go without sleep. You know, in the beginning, the studio was not far from where I lived. It was, you know, it was like about a 10-minute drive. And I'd be on the air at 7:30. And a lot of times I would wake up at 7:20 in those days.
And make it.
But I was so, you know, I was craving every second of sleep. So I didn't leave myself any margin. At first I started to shower and shave the night before. By the end I was brushing my teeth the night before. Not a good idea, by the way. But it saved me an extra minute. And I would get to the station almost every day when I would get to the station. As I was turning the ignition off on my car, I would hear, and now back to the KQRS morning show. That's how close I used to cut it.
Well, you lived there. Some of us actually bought houses that were close to Apple Golden Valley, so that, you know, it would be an easy trip. And then they moved it here.
Not a bad idea. And then they moved it here. I think that was the... in fact, I vividly remember the first day here because, you know, I had to drive I had to drive in the dark sometimes. And, you know, I stopped driving at night like 25 years ago because I was always nearsighted. And when you're nearsighted, you're totally night blind. And I remember the first day that we were doing the show over here because I ran into a barricade on Washington Avenue. It occurred to me retirement could not be far off at that time. It was raining that day to make it worse.
It had to be a winter then, right? If it was still dark out?
You know,
I don't remember.
I can't remember, but it was unusually dark whatever time of year because it was raining.
Yep.
And that was... I always tried, every time I negotiated my contract, I tried to negotiate a ride here. Tried to get some... You know, I figured, what would it cost him? But I never succeeded in that.
You know, it's within the last year... We've been here, I think, 15 years now, something like that,
right?
That's
about that, yeah.
I found a shortcut when you get off of university. There actually is a way you don't have to go down to McDonald's. No one ever told me about it.
Oh, down to 8th Street?
Yeah, I just happened upon it. Yeah. And it cuts off like 3 or 4 minutes. So
yeah, 8th Street, yeah.
I was glad to do that. Now, I saw you ran into Wally, who you guys...
It's good to see
great,
Wally.
I always love seeing him, too. It's great to run into
Wally,
him.
Wally, you know, he's one of the very few guys who... was at the old building from the first day I was there. Well, he's been doing this since he was 12. I'm pretty sure, maybe 13, yes. But, you know, he's Wally is that proverbial radio story, you know, the guy who started sweeping up in the morning and turning on the antenna, that sort of thing. And so it's great to see Wally.
Yeah, it is. I like running into Wally Walker, we're talking about from KQ. Now, I also want to talk to you about, because you're into, you love basketball, right? Baseball and basketball are your two sports?
Well, I like all sports. You know, I'm not much for hockey, but other than that, yeah.
But what I want to get into, we could get into this in the next segment, too, is for the longest time, it appeared Okafor was the pick.
Jahlil Okafor. You're right, probably for at least the first half of the season.
Well, let's ask that. What do you? I mean, is it Towns now, or because right now it doesn't mean anything because they have the best chance though, 25%, I think.
Yeah.
Right now, the Wolves are going to finish with the worst record. They took that over just within the last 24 hours or so.
Yeah.
If you had the first pick, who would you go? Would you take Towns or would you take Okafor?
Well, it's tough because they badly need somebody who's dominant. I mean, the conventional wisdom here would be that Okafor's a little more of a project, not quite ready. Towns can just slip right in there. And I also think that Okafor, the case you can be made for him, which is kind of good and bad, is that he's been coached. You know, these Kentucky guys, I see no evidence that Calipari knows how to coach a basketball team. I mean, very few guys could have blown it the way he did. And so, but like I say, that's good and bad. Okafor's had more schooling, but on the other hand, I would say Towns has far more upside in the sense that somebody's going to coach him and tell him really how to play the game. So I'm not sure. I'm really not. I'd have to see the two of them work out and analyze them that way. Either will be an upgrade, and neither will matter because it's the Wolves.
Well, that's a great point there. But one of the things about it that in a sense, what's happening to Okafor, where people are putting Towns ahead of him, is a little bit what happened to Teddy Bridgewater. A bad pro day, a bad national championship game.
Yeah. He did seem to kind of melt down. You got to figure, though, eventually Okafor's going to learn how to face the basket. Eventually he's going to learn how to shoot for at least from 10 to 15 feet out, and that'll be huge, too. So I think that either one with coaching and the right team would do really well. But again, it's the Timberwolves, so I don't know. The franchise is so screwed up. We live in the land of modest expectations. Fans here have basically been trained to expect pretty much nothing. And I think as long as you expect nothing, you're going to get nothing. I don't think any of these teams are ever going to make the effort unless they have to. And you could take either of these guys, or D'Angelo Russell, who might be the third pick. You could take any of these guys, and there's just no reason to believe that this franchise is going to click. This franchise is winning at a 20% clip. Their winning percentage
probably about that.
I think
yeah.
It's a little under 20%. And the dean of sports writers in the Twin Cities wrote, when the team was probably had about a 225 winning percentage, that the Timberwolves had turned the corner, and I don't think anyone laughed. I mean, you know, this is the way sports are. What other city in America could someone write? Can you imagine someone in Europe writing that about a soccer team? They've turned the corner. They're winning 20% of the time. What corner could they possibly have turned? I mean, I understand that it's Sid and he's old and everything, but he would have written that 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So
and he still would have been middle-aged.
Yeah. This is the land of modest expectations. I remember like 30 years after they passed the law, people around here wouldn't take a right turn on red because they were convinced it was too good to be true. That's the kind of area we live in.
That's great. Mike, you know what? Well, we'll take a quick break when we come back. We do this thing called D-Bag of the Day.
Oh, yes.
You may have some candidates for it, too. And a little threesome thing. Because we've got a lot going on today, and we want to talk to you. We also want to let people know if you want to touch base with Mike and maybe ask him, you might have some early picks for next year for football. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. A little bit later, we're going to be giving away Twins tickets to Thursday's game, so you can go and watch them. Let's see, on Thursday, they're 1-6 now. They'll be trying to avoid being 1-8. Good luck with all that, because Kansas City's still in town.
Now, is Marsh coming in?
He is coming in.
Oh, good, because I want to ask him about Aaron Hernandez.
And he's got plenty about that. Now, you know Marsh, right? Marsh Hallberg?
Sure, yeah.
Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. I look forward to having both of you guys on together. I'll give you the, I mean, we've got, Tim Lammers, who does movie reviews. I want to talk to him a little bit about the movie that came out the other day and some baseball movies. You must have a favorite baseball movie, too. We can talk about that. Master Tesfatsian, he's getting ready for the NFL draft. Just a couple things from him on that. Marsh Hallberg. We talk every day to Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune of Suhan Unfiltered. And every Tuesday, we close the show with Jack Jablonski. He's going to school at Southern Cal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gives us our hockey
update. Oh, is that
right?
I didn't know that. That's
he's
great.
A great kid.
Yeah.
Did you ever run into Jack?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, you'll enjoy him because he's got a future in broadcasting. But he's a lot of fun to talk about. But we're going to take a quick break right now. And when we get back, we'll still Mike Gelfand will be with us. And I'm really looking forward to having him with us today. We'll be right back.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. D-bag, D-bop-bop, D-bag, D-bop-bop, D-bag,
D-bop-bop, D-bag, douchebag. We're going to get to that. We are joined by Mike Gelfand. I worked with him for, Mike, actually, it probably was almost a quarter of a century we were together on the morning show.
Yeah, it was,
I was there 27 years, and you were there about that long, right?
Yeah. Because
you were there from its inception through
2011. I was there about 25 years,
And it's like I said, I'm thrilled to have you with me. We have Kathy on line one.
Yep.
Kathy, how are you?
Good.
Good. Do you have a question about, was it basketball?
No, I just wanted to tell Mike that a couple years ago, I used his basketball picks for the final.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Okay. No. And all the guys at work were like, I won everything.
Oh, good.
In a single day. And they were walking by my desk going, how come you know that? I finally just told them, you should listen to KQ in the morning and you should listen to Mike Gelfand because he knows what he's talking about.
Bless you. I actually won my brackets pool this year, and I'm sure I never won before, and I'm sure I'll never win again. But it is a great feeling. You know, it's not the money. That's the money.
No.
But it's the ego, mostly.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your knowledge. Well,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
There's a good call.
Yeah, I like that. I like your listeners.
Well, I'm sure they're not all as nice and kind as she is. 651-989-9105. If you'd like to touch base with Mike and tell him how he helped you with your picks.
It's great because, you know, you do the picks and then you suffer through everything. And this one pick sheet, actually, Max and I had shared this pick sheet. And we were watching the Michigan State game. And like through about the first 30 minutes, I'm saying, oh, man, Michigan State's going to win. We're ruined. Finally, with about 5 minutes left, Max turned to me and said, you know, we have Michigan State.
You forgot.
I didn't know. Well, you know, you turn in a couple different sheets and you just get a little confused. Yeah.
That happened to me, too, because I did three sheets and I was all it involves Michigan State. I was sure in one I had Michigan State.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I had, who did they beat in the second round?
You do get confused.
Or whoever it was I had in the second round, I had them. Was it one of the Iowa?
Virginia.
Virginia, yes. I had Virginia in that one, and then Michigan State in the other two. So that was a little, you know, the D-bag of the day, we'll make it, because I want to talk to, it's a lot more fun to talk to Mike, but our D-bag of the day, Lawrence Phillips.
Oh, well, come on.
It's an easy one.
That's low-hanging fruit, isn't it?
Well, that's what I love D-bag of the day. Sometimes it's not so easy.
I guess you don't really need to reach for something like that.
No. Sixth overall pick in the 96 draft. Been behind bars since 2008. Suspected of killing his cellmate at Kern Valley State Prison. Well, here's the thing that's about the... A suspected.
Yeah.
Who else is in the cell besides those two?
Really, not a lot of people had access, I imagine.
Yeah, they didn't break into the cell to get in there.
No, uh-uh.
So the guy was found unresponsive in the cell, the guy named Damian Soward. And he died Sunday at a local hospital. He was Soward. Well, he was serving 82 years in prison for murder, and Phillips was serving 31 years in prison for convictions of inflicting great bodily harm involving domestic violence, spousal abuse, false imprisonment, and vehicle theft. You know how serious this had to be? I mean, it's they're not laying out the entire thing, but this has got to be... I have a vague recollection of what he did.
Yeah.
But, it's vague right now.
Well,
this was horrible, though.
Think about all the guys who got killed in the NFL just because he never blocked for anyone. I mean, that's true. Didn't he end Steve Young's career? He did the old Ole thing.
He probably did that to a few guys.
I think he did. I seem to recall that. And what was the deal with what was the playground incident? He was like playing pickup ball with a bunch of 12-year-olds, and I think he wound up like assaulting one of these kids.
I want to say he actually almost
he tried to run him over with his car.
That's what it was.
Leaving.
Yeah, when he was leaving. Yeah, yeah.
Because he was so pissed.
Not a great guy.
No, but and Mike, you've dealt with him in baseball, and I've dealt with him in many of the sports. Mm. They could be great athletes. It doesn't mean that they're all there.
No, well, generally speaking, though, when I covered baseball, the only time I ever saw a baseball player try to kill someone, it was me. So, you know, that's just to be expected. And I have to say, at least they had a reason for that.
Well, in my career, and I've mentioned this, I had two people that I believe seriously wanted to kill me. One was in high school. It was a high school coach who I'd written about the job he once had and how his kids were undisciplined, and he thought I screwed his chance of getting another job. And he had to be restrained by I was like 19.
Yeah.
He had to be restrained by several of his assistants. And the other one was Keith Millard, who I joked about it last year, but I did not distrust when he said he's walking, trudging, because Keith was not really walking. He had the old film projector, and I said, Keith, you got a minute? He goes, get away from me or I'll kill you. I did not argue with Keith Millard. Now, how many times were you threatened to be killed?
Well, not many times, unless you count Rod Carew. But that was kind of a daily thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you know what? I, you know, in retrospect, I was a little harsh with Rod. I mean, he was kind of angry. I was kind of angry. So, you know, you put two angry guys together, you're going to have some problems. I do remember my favorite time was when Craig Cusick?
Oh, yeah.
Mongo, big guy. He was one of the, you know, 15 or 20 next Harmon Killebrews. But a huge right-handed guy, a right-handed hitter, and you know, like a lot of guys, he had a little trouble sometimes with the breaking pitch, especially coming from the right-handers, and so he did threaten to. He threatened to rip my mustache off, and it wasn't much of a mustache; it really needed to come off. But what happened there was he'd had a pretty bad day. He'd struck out, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 times. And then he attacked the water cooler with his bat afterwards. So on the paper, I wrote that he had smashed the water cooler with his bat. And the only reason he connected with it, because it was a left-handed water cooler. So I don't know. I thought
why would
it was
he get
funny.
Upset at that?
I know. I thought it was funny. I thought he'd appreciate it, but I guess he didn't.
You know, and what a lot of people don't know or realize if they didn't follow you when you're I loved you on the radio, Mike, because you're very quick, but you're a terrific writer. Do you do much writing now?
Well, you know, I've been working very slowly on a book about, it's kind of a memoir. A lot of it's about my dad. I had a 6-month hiatus until very recently because I had a cluster headache attack, which I have about every 20 years. And so that kind of puts me out of commission for a while because you go maybe an hour or two a week without a headache. So I did that for about 5.5 months.
It lasted that long?
That's the nature of a cluster headache, yeah. They just go on and on. Yeah, what you do is the best thing you can do is just breathe in oxygen. So I was going through like about 5 tanks of oxygen a week, and there's various drugs, none of which are any fun, that you can take.
So it's like a migraine for several months?
It's worse than a migraine, although sometimes migraines, they fire off migraines too. So sometimes you've got the cluster and the migraine going at the same time, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a mysterious thing. Obviously, nobody knows too much about it, but judging from me, I'd say it's God's way of punishing people. So, but I don't know for what, you know, because I can't narrow it down.
Well, your dad I met him very early in my tenure at the Star Tribune. I think I've probably told you the story, but for others who hadn't heard it, I didn't know what your dad did when I heard from him.
Yeah.
And he was the ombudsman.
Yeah, and you didn't know that.
No, I didn't, because he sent me something from some guy who was complaining about something I wrote about the Vikings, because I was covering the Vikings there, and I wrote back to your dad. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Everything he says is just stupid.
Yeah.
Well, your dad printed that, but I had no idea.
Oh, no, no,
yeah, well,
no.
Well, because he was asking me for a response. I didn't know he wanted a response for it.
Oh, no.
Well, Bob Sansevier says
this guy's an idiot.
But I thought, I mean, in retrospect, even then it was funny when I saw it. I thought, oh, I guess I should find out who does what. Because that was your dad's job.
That was his job. My dad came to work at the paper just about the time I left, you know, and it's, I won't say it had anything to do with me leaving, but I was relieved not to have to ever have that experience of him bringing a letter to me and me having to try to explain
respond
it.
To
yeah,
it.
That wouldn't have been any fun at all. He loved that job. My dad was...
He was good at it.
Because he really wanted to be a newspaper guy. And he was, of course, for a while, he'd been a sports writer, both in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So when he went back to the paper to be the ombudsman at about, I think he was... God, he must have been about 62 years old at the time. But it was perfect for him. It was absolutely his ideal job because he loved newspapers and he loved judging people. So, you know, he had everything.
It was a perfect
yeah.
job.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Hey, what do you have? Well, you know what? We'll have to do the threesome a little bit later. We don't have time to throw that in. Do they? Or can we get three answers?
We've got a couple minutes.
Then let's hit it. We have three questions, three answers. Jump in at any one of them that you want.
All right. Attention, Bob. I have three questions for you. Number one, does it matter who the St. Louis Blues use at goalie?
I'm going to let you take this one.
It shouldn't matter at all. This team has a 2-1-1 record against St. Louis, and the only loss they had was the other night when both teams were pulling back and not putting their best teams or showing their best stuff.
Just would you rather go with the veteran, Brian Elliott, or the young guy, Jake Allen?
If I were them? I mean, yeah. You're going to probably go with the veteran.
Yeah, he did really well on Saturday.
Yeah, but... I don't think it matters because if this team is going to win, it shouldn't matter who's in goal because the way they've played, they have the best record in the league after the All-Star break. They should be able to handle St. Louis on the road after they're 12-1 in the last 13 games on the road. And they basically gave away the final game Saturday night to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got?
Number two, Jameis Winston is set to meet with the Chicago Bears tomorrow. Are the Bears seriously considering trading up to get Winston?
Were you going to hear this guy? I wouldn't touch him.
Well, I wouldn't either, but then again, you know, I believe in basic family values, but this is the NFL. It's really not a matter of who you kill. It's a matter of how many you kill or rape or whatever. No, it's disgusting that this guy's going to be in the NFL. It's going to be repugnant.
I just don't see him lasting because
no,
I don't think he can stay out of his own way.
Well, he never has been able to, and he never will.
The safest pick, the first overall pick, would be Mariota, or take one of these defensive linemen that are supposed to be off the charts. I wouldn't go. And I think now the stories out of Tampa Bay are the owner, used to be Malcolm Glazer, who passed away. His
right.
daughter
yeah.
runs the team now, mm-hmm. and she has some issues with
the draft,
which
we
hope she would.
Yeah. I think anyone who has ever had a daughter or known a woman would probably have issues.
Yeah. So that's going to be a tough one to sell, I think, to Ms. Glazer. What else you got?
And finally, will the Kansas City Royals still be undefeated when they leave town?
That's probably the dumbest question I've ever heard. Of course they will.
Do you mean leave town now or in August?
either
they
way.
They look awfully good, you know.
Yeah, they do.
Because they've got, obviously, Rios' injury is a big thing, but they've got everything. They've got, you know, they've got great pitching. They've got a great closer. They're a very defensive-minded team. I'm sorry, they don't call it defense anymore. They call it run prevention. But whatever it is they've got, I think they're going to be, it's too soon to say, but they're going to be tough all year.
Well, my favorite Royal is a guy on my, because you know that Wally and I have played for years. Wally actually stepped aside. Mm-hmm. He's not playing rotisserie anymore, Wally Walker.
I was shocked to hear that.
It was shocking. I have Kendrys Morales, who I'm very happy with his start. Well, I overpaid for him, but he's off to a nice little start there.
Yeah, he is.
And with the Twins pitching two more days, tomorrow and Thursday,
yeah.
I think he's going to be doing just fine.
He might hit a few homers.
Let's take a quick break. We're joined by Mike Gelfand. He'll be with us for this afternoon. We're going to come back, talk to Tim Lammers, talk a little bit about movies, and looking forward to talking to Master Tesfatzi and Marsh Hallberg. It's going to be a fun day. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Tim gets his own music. We try to give that to everyone. He likes the rock. David shows very little imagination looking for new music.
That's so much work, Bob.
Who's on the line? Well, that's Tim. We are joined by Tim Lammers, a syndicated movie journalist, reviews on Care 11 News at 11 on Fridays, Mondays on the Tom Bernard Digital Radio Show, also appears on KQ, and he has a website you should visit, directconversations.com. Tim, I'm thrilled to be joined by Mike Gelfand. Now, do you know each other, Tim and Mike?
No. Of course, I heard Mike before on KQ before, obviously, so nice to meet you officially, Mike.
Yes, nice to meet you, too, and are there any hot sports movies around now?
Not really. You know, I was telling Bob, you know, I guess it qualifies because it is an official competition, but The Longest Ride, although it's a Nicholas Sparks romance.
One of those movies.
Yeah, there's an element of bull riding in it.
Oh, well.
which, you know, I found pretty fascinating. Oddly enough, and maybe not oddly enough, but on Sunday there was a professional bull riding championship deal on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously tied somehow into the movie, and they showed actual footage of Scott Eastwood riding a bull for real. I mean, he wanted to, you know, just didn't want to leave it up to the stuntmen. He wanted to actually get on the thing and find out what it was like. And I have to tell you, Mike and Bob, this is a dangerous sport.
Yeah, and you can only imagine how much second all they gave to the bull.
Oh. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know how these guys do it. I don't know how they endure. The interesting thing, I guess, I found out, maybe I just didn't care enough before to pay attention, but these guys actually do wear helmets now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And, of course, now there's a big junior bull riding circuit, too, you know.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, no, there's a lot of kids, probably very few in Minnesota, but there's a lot of kids. There's a big piece in Sports Illustrated not too long ago, and they asked one of the parents, well, aren't you worried about, the kid was like 12, aren't you worried about, you know, this kid might get killed riding the bull? And the guy said, well, at least I know he'll die happy.
Hey, Tim, could you hold on just 1 second?
Sure.
Because we have a special caller on line one. Who is this, please?
Hi.
Oh, my God. It's Terry Train.
He heard that voice enough over the years.
I'd known that voice. I'd know it anywhere. Hi, Terry.
Hi. How are you?
Well, I'm great. It's a real nostalgia kind of day here, and we were just talking about you.
Nothing bad, Terry. Don't get upset.
Actually, what Bob was saying is she'll never call in.
I actually did. I was listening to Tim, and I thought I was supposed to be the next segment. So then I hung up to listen, and then Bob texted, call right away. So.
Well, I heard that you were there, and you were gone, and Tim can't join us or hear Terry, can he?
Well, we could hear him, but she couldn't.
Okay. All right, can Tim join us, or is that possible?
Well, I don't want to interrupt.
No, it's fine. Tim, we put you on.
I hear Terry there.
Okay. Yep, she called in to say hello to Mike, and, well, say hello to Tim, too, Terry.
Hi, Tim.
No, I can't hear.
Oh,
yeah, he was on hold. That's why they can hear each other.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Tim.
He can't hear you, Terry.
Oh, okay.
We don't. You know what?
But Tim, hello, anyway.
Tim, do me a favor, because then we could have both of you on together. If he calls the main number, the 651-989-9105, he could be on with us, right?
Yeah.
Would you please call that number so
sure,
we can get you and
sure,
Terry on?
I'll
That'd
do
be
that
great.
Right now.
All right. Because Tim and Terry, they're on like a couple of, usually every week they're on together on the morning show.
I still haven't managed to get up early enough to hear the morning show, but I'm working on it.
That's why I thought I had a shot that I started too with this show.
Stretch. Have to get a shot in.
It's been, well, no, it's, you know, it's been 4 years since I've been able to get up that early. It's great to see your family, Terry. I'm sorry it was under such circumstances, but
I know. It was just so, honestly, it was so sweet to see you at the wake, and then with all those sales reps. I mean, all these people and Justin came and that's Einstein.
You've got your rooster out. Hey, Tim, are you with us?
Yes, I'm
okay.
Here.
Terry's just telling us about, because we all saw Mike. Terry did, obviously, and mm-hmm. I saw Mike at the wake for Terry's mom.
Yes.
She passed away last week.
Yes, and Terry, my deepest condolences as well. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, she's in heaven. I don't think you die on Easter, and, you know.
Now, Terry, Terry, I got to ask you a quick question. Would it be wrong of me to tell you what I told you, what I was going to say to Abby, and I didn't because I didn't think it would be good form?
No, go ahead.
All right. Abby, I mean, she obviously took grandmother. She was broken up about it. And I didn't know what to say, but I showed uncharacteristic restraint because she had just... Terry, it was that day, right? The day before your mom passed that she told your mom that she was getting married, right?
Yeah, it was Saturday.
Okay. Well, what I almost said, and I held myself, was, well, that's probably what did it, the shock.
Why did she... Why, is she marrying a Jew?
That would have been shocking.
If anyone doesn't know this, I am Jewish. It occurs
so
to me
he
that
can say
there
it.
May be people listening who don't know that. So,
Stretch is at the church. You know, the wake and the funeral were at St. Pete's in Delano, and Stretch is back there, and he's wearing this shirt that looks like a collar of a priest.
Yeah,
it did.
And by the way, Father Miller from Stillwater's tuned in right now. Hi, Father. I told him you got to listen.
Let him call in.
Yeah, I'm glad you told me that, Terry, because I immediately slipped into the booth and took a couple confessions.
I'm so sad. I'm heading into the confessional now. And, yeah, he looked just like a priest. It was hilarious. But yeah, it's. I just stopped out at the cemetery and said hi on my way out. They're right on the County Line Road at St. Joe's Cemetery, so you can drive right by their grave. Say hi when you go by.
We'll do that.
But it's just wonderful to hear you. You haven't skipped a beat, Stretch.
Well, I've skipped a few heartbeats, but that's because of the medication I was taking for the cluster headaches. But I'll tell you, it is a completely different experience to do radio when you're awake. I mean, I'm serious. Yeah. It's totally different.
Oh, I believe it. I believe. I think, you know, last week I had off, but you're just so tired that you can't even think straight. You know?
Yeah. When I think about all the arguments we got into over the years, I don't think any would have happened if I'd had, say, 3 hours sleep.
I think any of us. I think if we could do over now, knowing what we know,
yeah,
it would be, wow. But Botox works for headaches. You got to start doing Botox.
Yeah, then. Some people actually take them for cluster headaches. That's true, yeah.
I don't use it for headaches, but...
Yeah, well, I'm whatever you use it for, Terry, it's worked out well.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
Hey, Tim, do you have any movie you can recommend for Terry?
You know, I don't know. I mean, Terry, if you want scary, I mean, Tom will tell you that he hated It Follows.
Oh, yeah, he said it was pathetic.
Right.
And I usually agree with Tom on movies, so...
Yeah.
I don't think I'd care for it either.
Lastman loved it. I just thought it was overrated. I guess what I liked about it was it's different. And it's sad to say it's different because basically it's a throwback. So it isn't really that original in that regard. So, but yeah.
I like those old throwback movies. So, I mean, I like the old 70s.
Yeah, it feels like those movies, except for just in tone. In tone it feels that way. But as far as anything happening, nothing really happens. It's just sort of the movie that it creeps some people out, but... obviously, it didn't do as much to me as it did to Lastman or Tom. It didn't do anything for her. So I guess I couldn't recommend that one for you, though.
Right. Okay, well, that's funny.
Now, Tim, I
might like that rodeo one that you were talking. I like horses, so.
Yeah, it's a sweet romance story. Oh, yeah. I mean, and the bull riding stuff, I was just telling Mike and Bob, I didn't realize how incredibly dangerous of a sport that really was, and it amazes me now that in 2015, again, I don't watch bull riding that much, but on Sunday I saw something on CBS where they were actually wearing helmets. I thought, my God, what took them so long? So they're finally doing that. Of course, that doesn't prevent a bull from kicking them anywhere else.
Tim, they should wear those giant sumo outfits to cushion the fall, because they do take some incredible falls. You know,
dangerous.
And this is also the mark of a, it proves you love your wife. Mary wants to go to that, and I do want to take her to it, because it's not a movie a guy's going to like. I don't care about the bull riding. It's a...
Yeah.
So they don't wear cowboy hats? They wear helmets?
Well,
now?
Some of them do. It's kind of like hockey. It's like some of them choose not to wear helmets, but a lot of them still, they're starting to adapt slowly. Yeah, but yeah, there were some of them still that had cowboy hats.
So I have to ask Bob a quick question. Are you going to have Bryce on at some point to review porn?
Bryce, if you're listening, call in!
Well, I won't be able to call in about that, being the Catholic girl, you know.
Yeah, that you are. Yeah.
No, I review movies, Terry, but you'll never catch me reviewing that kind of stuff.
Nope, not someone from Waverly.
No, not at all.
From the town.
And Terry, Mike, I think we both know she was such a good Catholic girl. Mm-hmm. She was the second Immaculate Conception.
Ah.
And Rich just played the role of Joseph to be there as the father.
Well, that's why he always goes around with that doer expression.
And he doesn't mean do her.
Thank you, Terry.
Well, Tim, thank you, Fred. And I know we didn't do the full movie segment, but it's a lot of fun for Terry and Mike on together, and you.
Yeah, it's really fun to do this sort of mini KQ reunion with, you know, for you guys. And of course, I do reviews on the station now, so, you know, I kind of feel like I'm a teeny weeny part of it. But you know what, Mike?
Sure.
It was so much fun listening to you on KQ. And
I appreciate that.
I hope that we can hear you again on there sometimes. And certainly, I hope to hear you more on the ticket as well.
Oh, I appreciate it. Sorry we obliterated your segment.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Again, it was fun. It was fun listening to this.
You do a great job on those reviews, Tim. Thank you, Terry.
He is terrific.
So
he's with us every Tuesday at this time. Tim Lammers, syndicated movie journalist, does reviews for Care 11, News at 11 on Fridays. Mondays on the Tom Bernard Show, Tom's digital radio show on KQ. And Terry, you should book him more regularly.
Yeah, we do. I need to talk to you. I thought I did. Aren't you coming up pretty soon here?
Well, actually, I was last week.
Terry, do it on your time.
I was on last week.
Right. Yeah. So. I knew I booked you.
Tim also does directconversations.com. And so check him out there. Tim, thanks so much. Hey, Terry, we have to take a break here. Can you come back a little bit later? Because there's something I'd like both you and Mike to take part in, to be lifelines.
What time?
Three in half an hour, about 3:15.
Okay, I'll go charge my phone. I'm out at the farm.
All right, come out and come back with us at 3:15. That'll be a lot. We'll have a lot of fun with that. We're giving away Twins tickets, and you guys could be, because we have people who need some help, you could be lifelines for people.
Okay,
all right.
Good.
We'll talk to you in a bit. Tim, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be joined. Mike Gelfand will be with us still, and talk to Master Tesfatsian from the Star Tribune about the draft coming up. He has some great thoughts on that. We'll be right back.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Master likes this. Did he like it last time?
I haven't played it for him before.
Well, let's find out. Master Tesfatsian from the Star Tribune. Master, how are you? Not yet?
Almost.
Blinking.
That's not him.
Oh, somebody else?
You gotta let me run the phone here, Bob. Apparently you don't know which button to hit. It's just flashing. You want to push buttons on it?
Let's do it. See what happens. Who's there? We're joined. Mike Gelfand is with us. Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. Marsh's segment coming up next. But, Marsh, you and Mike go way back, right?
Oh,
you
man, know? Yeah, back from KQ days. And sure. I didn't know he was going to be on. And I'm driving in and going, and your voice is so distinctive, aside from your wit. And I get you, everybody sucking up to you being on the show. But
that was a requirement.
They had me sign something.
They weren't going to pay me, so I said everybody had to suck up.
It worked for me. Works. Yeah. But you are... There is no one with a quicker wit than you, my friend, and I just so miss you on here all the time, and my heart goes out to you with the health issues you've got going on.
No, I'm fine now. Fine now.
Good, good. So, great to see you again.
Now, let me ask you this, Marsh. Wouldn't he have been a hell of an attorney?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, really, because he relates to people instantly, which is what you have to do.
Don't you have to go to college or something?
No, you don't know that
stuff. But he tied him in knots, too.
You know, nobody really looks at the diploma if you think about it. Does anybody really ask to see your diploma?
Well, I suppose you're right about that, yeah.
So it's all just, you know, BS. But no, you would have been a masterful attorney, especially a trial lawyer.
Well, my mom, of course, being a Jewish mother, that was her dream.
Better a doctor, isn't that? Like,
yeah. But doctor, lawyer, you know, either one.
Put it in your DNA or something?
They don't care what you do as long as you're happy and you're either a doctor or a lawyer.
Well, they're mutually exclusive terms, though.
That's true. Well, you know, you got to have a lawyer to sue the doctor.
There you go. It works both ways.
And believe me, I know.
We're joined by Master Tesfatsian from the Star Tribune. Master, we're here with Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense and Mike Gelfand, who I spent about a quarter of a century on the KQ Morning Show with. So it's a lot of fun today, and I appreciate you joining us to talk about the draft.
Absolutely.
Now, Master, you're doing? I know you're doing a series or a feature on some of these names that people, you know, that they may not be as aware of, but you know. Well, let's just cut to the chase. Who are the Vikings taking?
Yeah, well, I'm working on a series on our site at Star Tribune on our Access Vikings blog, just doing a daily piece on, you know, we come around this time and there's a lot of people who have, you know, a lot of attention drawn to them.
Yep.
The series is called Just Truth or Hype, just kind of analyzing the film and just kind of the whole body of work and actually seeing whether the hype or the attention surrounding a certain prospect is justified based off his performance. And we started the series yesterday with Rashard Perryman, the Central Florida wide receiver who I thought was all hype in my blog yesterday. Today, wrote about a defensive end and outside linebacker, Randy Gregory, from Nebraska, who the Vikings actually spent an extensive amount of time reportedly during Nebraska's pro day talking to Gregory. He seems like another one of those interesting, raw type of guys that could be, he's just a dynamic pass rusher, similar to kind of what Barr was, but Barr had about 20 pounds on him. Barr, I think, was 255. Coming in the draft, where Randy Gregory is only about 235. So I don't see him being a defensive end, but an outside linebacker, I think he's really interesting. And it depends on what type of scheme and what type of team he goes to. Which it's interesting enough. It seems like someone, you know, that if he does end up falling to the Vikings, that, you know, you look at Mike Zimmer and the scheme and what he's capable of doing with raw linebackers, as we've seen with Anthony Barr last year. I mean, him and Barr at linebacker would be very interesting.
Is that likely that he'll be there for 11?
Well, the biggest question now with him is just his character issues. That's what a lot of people have been talking about, you know, obviously with the marijuana stuff. But more importantly, I think there have been reports about how he hasn't interviewed well with some of these teams. And that would be the biggest concern for me is you know, how he presents himself in person. I mean, you don't get too many opportunities to have these face-to-face conversations with these teams. And, you know, they're going to analyze it as much as, you know, all these draft prognosticators analyze about, you know, how your toe is pointed or how your hands look or, you know, how chapped your lips are on some of these videos. So they're gonna base those interviews heavily based off of what kind of character and what kind of person he is. And given that, obviously, he has his marijuana issue that he did at the combine where he failed the
drug test. Stupid. Yeah. But other than the marijuana and the stupidity, has he had like Jameis Winston issues? Because, I mean, there were issues that people, why Randy Moss slid as far as he did.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have any sort of, you know, criminal issues. And that's the biggest thing for me when I look at those kind of things is, I guess the marijuana issues are, you know, up in the air with how people view about it. I'm a little more, I don't view it as harshly as I guess some people might do it, but. Obviously, it's there, and you still have to consider the fact that it is legal, obviously, in the NFL, and that this is a substance that can get you suspended in the NFL. So he's got to be more aware of that. He admitted that he used it a lot in Nebraska, marijuana, that is, and obviously you can't do that now in the NFL.
Well, to me, the biggest thing, and Marsh Hallberg and Mike Gelfand are here with us, and I'd be curious what they think, is not that he smoked marijuana, but he was too stupid to know how long it took to get out of your system.
Yeah, and you would think if someone smoked marijuana for that long, you would know that. You know, you probably got a good month before, you know, you got to get all that out of your system before you show up at the combine in February.
Nelson, it could be, well, Marsh, you may know more about this because you probably have defended people with it. 6 weeks is, I think, if you're smoking it regularly, it's at least 6 weeks,
oh, yeah.
Right?
It's a long time to get out. And you got a fairly significant drop off after about 10 days. Is that kind of but you're still in your system.
It's going to show.
Yeah, it's still going to show.
Well, at $100 for half an ounce, it should stay out there for a while.
So I have no idea. Has it gone up or is it pretty static what the costs are?
Well, it's gone way up from what I hear, but it's so much better. It used to be, you know, look, I went to college in the 60s, and that ditchweed we smoked, you know, you had to smoke a couple of joints to get high. Now you take two hits, and, boy, it's past the Twinkies.
Yeah, aren't they showing that the marijuana is legal in Colorado? They're showing it's like 10 times, 10 to 20 times stronger than traditional marijuana was.
Technology.
Yeah. There you go. Better life through chemicals.
That's what's doing it. Now, Master, who do you think? I mean, if there's a guy that you're going to say when you do your mock draft, who's going to be the guy you're going to put in at number 11 for the Vikings?
Can I just say those last 20 seconds are very interesting before I continue on?
Yeah. Thanks, Master.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are going to point at wide receiver, obviously, with the whole Devontae Parker ties. That's been a trendy pick. Also, Trey Waynes, the cornerback from Michigan State.
Yep.
Those two have been the trendy picks. And as we've seen time and time again, the trendy pick hardly ever actually works out. Honestly, I think I'm going to look more at some of these linebackers and these defensive ends that people are starting to look at.
Yep.
Maybe a Gregory type, maybe a Bud Dupree kind of guy. He's at Kentucky, another one of those guys that could be a defensive end in some schemes, could be an outside linebacker in others. But I think the biggest thing probably for the Vikings is that I would look to trade. I would look to trade out of that spot and try to move up a little bit to the higher teams and just accumulate some more picks so they can continue to develop some of the depth that they have, that they want to achieve.
Yep.
Rick Spielman's huge on trying to accomplish and having 10 picks. You can trade back on that. And there's still a lot of guys that you probably have on your draft board that are evenly rated on the draft board that probably will still be there in the high teams that you look at. And they're in a situation now where they can pick best available. So, but I would look. Honestly, I would look at defense. I think Mike Zimmer, obviously, is a defensive kind of minded guy.
Yep.
Continue to just build that defense, and you can still find, you know, your left guard, your wide receiver, your running back later on in the draft.
Well, Master, I appreciate this. Let's talk more regularly as the draft's coming up. I'd love to have you on, because you're staying on top of this. And
absolutely,
that'd be great. Master Tesfatsian from the Star Tribune. Check out his.
We can pick up on the marijuana talk next time too, right?
Pick up on what?
We can pick up on the marijuana talk too next time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Master, you're a young man and should be happy to be young with all the technology going on today. All right, thanks, Master. Take it easy. We're going to come right back, and we're going to go back with Marsh Hallberg's segment, Hallberg Criminal Defense, his sports law segment on 105 The Ticket, brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock Systems. If you need to drive, they can help. Marsh will be back with us. Mike Gelfand will be back with us. And Mike has some questions for you about one of the topics we're going to discuss. Looking forward to that when we return.